Welcome to Conversations with Toy, a blogcast tackling life one episode at a time. This is the time to air out life's craziest moments. This space is all about speaking about life's hang-ups and ways in which we can leave better than when we started. Topics are all about ways we can find space to be better in life, love, mental space, and health.
Happy Friday. I hope that you have had the most amazing week. Now, you know here, we know that weeks can be long. We know stress is always prevalent, but I just hope that you were able to tap into something that made you joyful, something that made you feel at peace, something that made your mind come at ease. I really do hope that for you. If this is your first time tuning into Conversations with Toy, I just want to say thank you. Welcome. I hope that this space finds you one in joy, one in peace. And then I also hope that you find that this space will be everything that you need it to be, where you can be seen, where you can be heard, and where you don't have to feel ashamed for having any type of mental health, mental illness, any type of mental anything that makes you feel like you could be possibly inferior, because I don't believe in that. I believe that we all struggle some way in our lives, regardless of what that level looks like. And I'm just glad that you are absolutely here. This week, I'm definitely going to have a few conversations. First, the conversation is going to be on content creators. So it may not be your thing. You may not be a content creator. You may think that the content creator space is oversaturated, of which I don't believe that it is. I honestly believe that there is space for each and every last one of us to use our voice. And I honestly believe that we should try to use our voice as much as possible. I know that we're so tired of seeing people call themselves content creators, but they're not. I deal with that quite often as a content creator, blogger, podcaster, and all the things and all the titles that I have. But one of the things that I want to talk about is the spirit of delusion. Now, I know that's going to sound crazy talking about content creation and delusion, because so many people associate content creation with the spirit of delusion. What do I mean by that? I mean that people think that, oh, content creation is ridiculous. A bunch of people that with a bunch of products going out trying to help people or trying to give people certain things to sell things and make money. It's really not just about that. There's so many different aspects of content creation that if you really had your opportunity to talk to a content creator to really understand why they do what they do, many of us like myself, especially when it comes to like lifestyle or mental health and wellness, or we're talking about politics, trust and believe that often many of us are struggling with showing up because none of us are perfect. And so our lives are under the microscope that we've set ourselves under, and people are going to be judgmental of the choices that we have made or the choices that we will make. And so content creation can be very sticky, and also content creation can be very isolating. Oftentimes when I'm out, especially like if I'm out with one other person for an invitation, especially when it's not like a media event. And what do I mean by a media event? A media party where, let's say, a restaurant was having a grand opening. They invited a bunch of content creators. As you're getting into that space, you know, you're meeting other people. But when you get to be invited, when it's just you and maybe a plus one, it can become strenuous. I was just telling some content creators a couple of weeks ago that I was at an event. It wasn't even an event. I was invited to a restaurant. And while I was creating content, if you've never been around a content creator, you know we're going to have lights. We're going to have every gadget and widget to help us create that content to get the right, you know, angles, all the things. And while I was there, some random man who I have never met in my life, probably won't be meeting him ever again. I pray I don't. He walked up to me and he was like, "So you just think that you're special?" Like, and so normally, I wouldn't have said anything. I just would have just let it go. But I said to him, I said, "Well, yeah, actually, I know that I'm quite special. Did you enjoy your time?" And he was like, "Yeah." I said, "Well, I hope you enjoyed your time, you know, paying for your meal and doing all the things while I'm sitting here being invited by the company to create these things." Now, in normal spaces, in normal time, I wouldn't even have to flex like that. But he was such an asshole for how he walked up to me, a random person. Do you know how many times I've seen content creators in their spaces, and I never felt like the need to walk up to them and say anything that was asinine about them, about their content creation process. And I just felt so, so disrespected. And I can't even tell you in so many different ways how I felt just being in that space with him and how he truly, truly, truly made me feel. And so I say that to say that understand with content creation that it comes with so many challenges of trying to be in your space, trying to do what you do, you love what you do, and having so many people feel the need to say things that they would never say. Now, I'm not going to go black and white, but I will say, yes, he was, and yes, I am. And I just felt so stressed. I felt so stressed. So this was a few years ago. Obviously, now I don't care. I've gotten to the point where, again, I can be in a space where nobody understands what I do, care about what I do, all those different things, and still shine. But when you're starting out in something, when you've been invited to the table where you're just you and maybe a plus one, because we all love plus ones. And the reason why we love plus ones is because even though I may go with a person that may not be a content creator, just having somebody that I truly love, that loves me, that loves what I do, that energy will make you do so many great things. Here's the reason why I don't allow certain family and friends to come with me to media events is because the energy be off. I'm going to repeat that one more time because I understand that a lot of people get, you know, choked up in their spirit about what I just said. But let me break this down to you. There is a reason why I will not allow certain family members and or certain friends to accompany me at media events because I need to be able to be free and be who I choose to be at any given moment. And I need that energy to be right. If you never really fucked with me, and I know this is going to sound like crazy because it's like, why is she cussing? If you never fooled with me in any times before, you don't really vibe with me. You don't really care about what I'm doing. You don't really share the things that I'm doing. You don't really believe in me. You don't have my back. It's not a way that I'm going to have you sit up amongst and try to reciprocate and receive all the things that come along with the things that I've been able to do and then sit up there and receive that, but you really don't deal with me. So this is the reason why I have a strict policy on family and friends. I was talking to some of my creator friends and they were saying about how like certain family and friends, they won't share their articles. They won't repost their things. They won't even like the post. But when they want to receive a benefit from it, they'll hit you up. Let me be very clear. I didn't even realize the lifestyle that could happen when you create content. I had no idea. I honestly did it. I still held a full-time job. I was doing it as a hobby. It was something that I wanted to help other people, to encourage them to be better, to show up in their spaces, even with their lives not being as perfect. And in the midst of that, then I began to be taught about certain things about how to network, how to brand, and how to do all these different things. All those things came way long after I had already started. I was preferring to be in the background, to be the person that types up everything and kind of just follow my own lead and not have to worry about all these different levels of things. Because when, let me tell you something, when you start creating content and other people start paying you attention, when you start becoming and you start going to brand, you know, creation, brand creator events, you start getting invited to go on trips and you start doing all these different things. Everybody wants that, but they don't understand what comes along with that because you still have to choose. Are you going to be who you're going to be, or are you going to switch up when you first start becoming all these different things that you've always dreamed of? Okay. And so I don't allow people who just want to, you know, tag along for the free meal, for the free drink, for the free trip. I don't allow that. If that person is not following me, if they're not even sharing my content, why in the world would I give you a hookup? Now, I know that sounds mean, but I'm okay with it. And let me tell you why. So many people want to attach themselves to you before the things that you can do, but they don't really care. They just want to see what they can get. So I've had a very strict friends and family policy that I just don't do it. There was a young lady, her name is Ashley. She's an amazing content creator. You can follow her at Ash_Defoodie, DeFooDie. She slid into my DMs and she has been one of the most genuine people that I've ever had a chance to meet. She slid in my DMs on TikTok. Now, I am on TikTok. I love to be on TikTok. I'm not really into TikTok as making sure like, oh, I got to make sure I perform certain numbers. I don't care. I don't care about any of these apps. I do what I need to do on these apps to do what needs to be done and keep it moving. My state to claim is going to be my writing, and that's just what it's going to be. And so I'm not really all into making sure that numbers meet certain things, but she slid into my TikTok DMs of all places. When I tell you that's the least place that I check DMs, which is why I can't stand why companies send me DMs through my TikTok DM, because I always show people my email. And a note for content creators, if you don't know this, if you meet a brand and they start talking to you about things like contracts and things in DM, switch them over to your email. Let me repeat that again. This is just some free knowledge. If you have a brand that reaches out to you via DM, I need you to switch them over from your DM to your email, because I promise you, the way people will attempt to erase messages, the way that people will play in your face when it comes to DMing versus an email, which we all know has timestamps, I take people from conversations in my DM to that email in a hot second. Okay, that's just free knowledge. Even if you're not a content creator and somebody is sending you a message, you can engage them first in your DM, but take that bad boy to email, because that email is very much something I will use in court of law if I should ever, ever, ever have to. But back to the fact of, as a content creator, I find it very strange, very irritating when I see people who are getting these brand deals and doing the most off of drama. There was a young lady this week that literally used the N-word very fluidly, didn't hesitate. There was no pause in her spirit or her mouth. And she ended up beginning to have millions of views on her content. Now, some people can call that race baiting, where you say things that you know will tick off another particular race or gender or whatever the case may be, just to get a rise. And she did. However, them tables turned quick. She lost her job. And of course, she was like, at first, like, oh, it's no big deal because I'm going to take my platform over to like conservative platforms. And we're about to have these conversations. I'm about to make these brand deals. I'm about to make this money. And then those same people was like, girl, bye. Because we racist, but we ain't outward racist. Like, we racist, but we're at a level where, like, we're kind of undercover. And she was just, like, straight up. Now, in her defense, which I'm not defending, be very clear, her stated defense was, I'm not a racist. I'm just saying things that people want to say. And then the black people basically fed into it and then allowed her to use us to create and gain certain traction. Here's where I do believe she was right. I don't comment on stuff like that when it comes to like showing their, I'm not stitching your stuff. I'm not giving you the limelight. I'm not about to shine a light. That's why I'm saying you may know who she is because you're online. But if you don't know, I'm not about to give you her name. Because first of all, the account that I saw her on, she got banned on. And number two, I'm not about to take it to her alternate account, even on like Twitter and other platforms, because I'm not here to highlight her foolishness. At the end of the day, she wants to do that because it gets a rise and she's going to do whatever she can to use that same rise to get whatever she wants. And I don't have the energy for that. But in content creation, it's a little funny. Some PRs won't work with you because you're not palm colored. I just want you to take your hand and look at that. I don't care what color you are. Just look at your palm and look at it. If you are not lighter than that palm, they will not deal with you. They will not talk to you. It doesn't matter if you can bring in numbers. It doesn't matter if you have a quote unquote influence, because you know that is the job of an influencer, right? It doesn't matter if you have all those things. If you are not the same color as a palm and lighter, they will not deal with you. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what race, I don't care what creed. If you look at the palm of your hands and you're not lighter than that palm, some companies, some people will not even tolerate or deal with you. And it's just the truth. It is the absolute truth. I know some of y'all want to feel like it's not the case. I know some of y'all want to feel go down in your shanana and act like it doesn't exist. But I promise you that it does. And the fact that I've seen it happen in so many different ways and so many different explanations have been given, but it don't change the fact that at the end of the day, if you look at your palm, I don't care what color you are, take the palm of your hand and look at it. If you are not the palm color or lighter, they won't even fuck with you. They won't deal with you. And I can't sugarcoat that any further. It is what it is. So in this week's foolishness, we've dealt with this content creator who used the N-word very fluidly, lost her job, got all these different people that looked like they were going to do something for her. And then those people was like, girl, bye. You got to be a little bit more covert. You can't be direct because we can't have you on our board where you're just going to be direct. Now she's like, well, I didn't mean it in that way. They always say that. Why do y'all say that? Here's the thing. Kevin Hart says, say it with your chest. And I need you to say it with your chest. If you feel the way, say it. But I need you to stand 10 toes down. I have younger children. My oldest is 15. And of course, that means she is in the social media way. And I had to let her know, listen, you got to be able to put out there, when you put things out there, I need you to stand 10 toes down. I need you to stand toes 10 toes down when it costs you your job. I want you to stand toe 10 toes down when it's going to cost you a scholarship or the ability to get into a college that you love. I need you to stand 10 toes down on all the things, even against me. And if you cannot stand those 10 toes down, stop putting it on the internet. Stop saying it. Stop tweeting it. Stop making content around it. Stop making stories. Stop reposting it. Stop doing all those things, because the way these content creators who are doing anything but causing drama, the way that they're posting, they don't give a damn about anything that we say, think, or feel. So I need you to be very clear that when you go to post something, that you stand 10 toes down, because somebody's going to challenge you. They're going to challenge me. And by me saying it this week, somebody's going to challenge me this week. But at the end of the day, you got to be sure that your anchor holds, because the way that some of these content creators are moving, I swear to you, it's not the way it's supposed to be moved, but they are moving in it and they are very proud of it and they don't care. Which brings me to the point that I have stated since I started. From the very beginning, I have always been clear on my why. Why do I make content the way that I do? Why do I try to inspire the way that I do? Why do I show up on days when I feel like my lowest, because I'm here beyond myself? Why? My personal why is that there is another toy who has a different name. She doesn't have to have the same name. He doesn't have to have the same name. They don't have to have the same name. But there is another person that feels like me, thinks like me in certain aspects, who have these thoughts and feelings, and they think that they're some type of magical unicorn. They think that the world has come crashing on them and they are by themselves or alone because they don't feel like they have support, because when they've reached out to the people that mattered the most, they didn't get that support. They didn't feel heard. They weren't seen. My why is to reach that person. It could be one person. It could be 1,000 persons. It could be however. But I am here for that person because I used to be that person. I used to be the Googler that would look up all the things on Google and never got an answer. And because I struggled with social anxiety, not being able to reach out to other people because that meant I would have to talk to them, I felt stuck. I felt alone. Those things matter. And that's the reason why I create content. It's the reason why I'm very clear on certain things that can be done as a single person or with a family or with friends, because people have these types of questions. These are the questions that they have. These are things that are going on in their mind that they want to know answers to. So are you going to encounter people just like I encounter people in the content creation space that do the most and get the most for nothing or little? Yes. I need you to be prepared for that. There was a content creator just this week who was like, oh my God, I'm back. I can't believe I've been gone. I've been trying to stay away for a whole year. Ma'am, you were only gone for like a month and a half, maybe even 6 weeks. Now, it's not up to me to say how long somebody is supposed to be off of social media, because that's not my journey. And if I decided to come off online, for me, because I run a business online, I have to be vigilant and say, hey, I'm going to be gone for X amount of time. Because again, when your business is online, you have to move a little bit more directly. You can't just play these games like I'm not going to put people in my business. You put them in your business when you decide to have a business that's online, right? But the way that she clowned so many people, this particular content creator, and had everybody eating at the palm of their hands. And me, I'm a fat check person. So I was like, let me go ahead and see what this check is talking about. Let me go and check out the things. And it wasn't making not a lick of sense. It wasn't making not a lick of sense. Because ma'am, you were just here. You've been posting consistently. You only took like a week or so or however many weeks off. You need to really stop. But so many people were like, oh my God, I missed you. I'm like, are you okay? Like, again, I get it. In content creation, there's so many people we aspire, so we treat them like celebrities. Even for me, I've had moments when I've met other content creators that I absolutely and truly do love. And although they do mean the world, because it's like amazing when you finally see people that act like the same way they do online, which is something I always strive for. But sometimes people take things a little too far. We put too many things that have little to no meaning ahead of its time when we really should just take the time to really work on ourselves. We just give too many people the power, right? And the celebrity status that they probably don't even need and they probably don't even want. We just continuously hand it out at will at this point. But I say all this to say, please be concerned about how much energy and power that you give to other people. And especially in the content creator space, because we are still yet human. There will be mistakes made. There have been mistakes made. There are things that we have to learn. There are things that I do now that I would never have done years ago. and vice versa. But I want to switch a couple of gears. Let me just say, as parents, the job is always strenuous. I am just praising God and always asking God to like help me to be there for my children, because it's not my job to make them who I want them to be. It's my job to kind of assist on the sidelines as they figure it out. And I was just talking to a couple of content creators tonight about that, and just like how much parenting really stretches you in like areas that I never was thought I was ready to talk about. You know, I have my oldest daughter, she's a freshman, and just like realizing some of the things that she's getting into. And obviously I won't get into all those things, but what I will say is that I've had some conversations that I thought I would never have, at least not this early in the game, but I really do want my daughter to feel supported. And I want to be able to be that fresh air of information, because, you know, sometimes parents, we hold things close to the chest and we don't want to say certain things because we feel like it's going to be a thing. But I'd rather for that thing to come from me than for me to come from one of her raggedy friends. Now, does that say all her friends is raggedy? I'm just saying that at the end of the day, teenagers is raggedy in general. That's just the way teenagers work. I was a raggedy teenager, so I get it. But I always want to keep an open communication, because sometimes when we feel like we're trying to raise them for ourselves versus raising them for the world versus raising them for who they're going to step into being, we really don't do them a due justice by making sure that we hold things too tight. We really don't do a due justice of making sure that they're pristine and they're together and they just don't embarrass us. Your child cannot embarrass you unless you allow them to grow up in an atmosphere where you just, you know, you showed them for yourself. Like when people put their kids in a bubble, and you act like life is impossible to touch them, when you act like things that happen are just like going to surpass them, I don't think you do yourself, and you definitely don't do your kids a justice by being honest. And some of the conversations that I've had to have with my oldest daughter, who again now is a new freshly cemented sophomore, has been some of the most craziest of conversations that I don't even think I've ever had with my mother. A matter of fact, I know I didn't have with my mother, and my mother was the most direct person. So my mother wasn't the type of person, and you've heard her on the podcast before as we talked about Mother's Day and things like that. But some of the things that were left out in our conversation is that my mom was very blunt. My mom lived a life, and I already asked her if I could talk about this before, but she was on drugs for like 17 years. Now, she had me at 18. I just need you to do the math on that, right? So that means that she didn't stop doing drugs when she met me or when she had us, right? She was still being delivered from those things. And so my mother's transparency was to be direct. I think the church getting involved in her lifestyle kind of stopped her to say certain things the way that it needed to be said, but her direct approach was not missed. I have a lot of direct approach when it comes to my children, because I feel like I don't need to sugarcoat them. And here's the reason why. If my children didn't have access to the internet, meaning cell phones, I probably could get away with sugarcoating. I could probably get away with like a Blue's Clues version of life. Not that I'm against Blue's Clues, because I love Blue. But the internet will teach your kids things that if you're not prepared to have conversations about, they're going to tell them, and they got to rely on that. Like, yes, even as adults, we go online, we go on Google, we look up certain things. Can you imagine your child asking you a question that you tried to give them the little cute version of, and they can just go on their phones and look it up, and you're looking stupid because they don't build trust because you're lying to them? I don't have that type of time when you have a sophomore. Some of the things that we've had to endure this school year alone lets me further know that I have to continue being direct. I have to continue being to the point, that I have to be continuing being opening myself as a parent to things that, again, I'm not necessarily ready for. And I was telling some of the content creators tonight, there's been times when I had to pray myself through, like to give an answer, because I have to be honest, right? I have to be honest. Because where do you think these kids are getting their information from? I'm just going to tell you, the internet and their raggedy ass friends. So I'm going to be that voice and beacon of truth to my child, even at my own detriment. I'm going to be that beacon of truth, even if I have to bite the side of my tongue, to bite myself to make sure that, hey, keep that face straight and give the actual answer. Right? And I feel that's important. And I hope, I pray, that having that kind of clear, conscious conversation where, one, I'm not trying to be your bestie. I have a bestie. I have a few of them. I'm not trying to be my child's bestie, but I am trying to be there for my child. And I need them to trust that if they come to me and ask me a question, I'm not going to lie. Because nothing could be worse than my kid looking something up on the internet that they could have found out from the internet. And here I am going lying instead of keeping a safe space. I'm not about to do that just because people around me don't agree with that. I'm just not. I'm not going to do it. So thankfully, we have survived freshman year. Praise be. And my daughter, she never ceases to amaze me at how much she can put on, how much stress she can be under, how much peer pressure she can have, all the things that they have. I didn't grow up with the internet. Like, the internet was like a thing. I mean, I started to grow into the internet, but I didn't have social media on my side as growing up. And I praise God, because don't nobody want to see Toy in college. I'm going to tell you right now, if you want to know about Toy in college, just ask me. But seeing that on video versus what I'm telling you, I don't need that type of situation. I don't want to have that. But my kids are growing up in a world where they can have every aspect of their life recorded, put online, all these different things. I promise you, most of these parents, you and I would not survive it. And lastly, before we end this podcast episode, is Father's Day is this Sunday. And just like Mother's Day, Father's Day brings on a level of drama, pain, scars, all kinds of ups and down levels with when it comes to Father's Day. And so if your emotions are all over the place, if you feel like you don't have it all together, if you feel like you can't show up in spaces because of that, I just want you to take the time and step back from it. I'm going to share the story. I've shared the story before. My father, who I've known for most of my life, is my stepfather. His name is Charles, and he has raised me with my mother. Now, my mother was a single mother when he and her met. They got closely acquainted together, and he basically became the father that I didn't have. I honestly believe, and I'm not even going to tell you what I believe, but I'll tell you what I know. I didn't realize that my dad wasn't my real father until I went to school. So I believe it was in first or second grade, because I could read back then. I was a smart little cookie. And I was supposed to be taking some paperwork to the teacher. And when I opened up the envelope, there was reading all the confirmation and information about parenting and guardians. And I read the information saying that he was my stepfather. That was the first time that I realized that my stepdad was my dad, because my recollection, my memory just wasn't really wrapped into that. And, you know, we met him right before kindergarten. So to me, I just thought he just assumed that he was my dad. My mother raised me to believe that he was my father, as far as, like, she didn't lie to me or anything, but this was the man that she had in her life, and this was the man that helped her raise us. And that was how that rolled. So my first gut punch was reading that information, and I went home and asked my mother, who again got on me because why was you in that envelope? Because the envelope did not have your name on it. So that was number one. But number two, she was honest and said, you know, this is your stepdad and blah, blah, blah. I didn't really realize what a stepfather was at that time. I just know that this was the man that raised me. I do remember a small, like, rebellion around that time, just as the kids would. But I also felt like I wasn't able to really step into how I truly felt regarding the information that I had just come into the realization about. So that was very difficult for me. And as I got older and started realizing more and more, like, just different things, you know, meeting his side of the family, which is, you know, the side of the family that I know of, and being around them, there was highs and there was lows. So there were some family members that treated us like family from the gate. I could name them right off the bat. Then there were some that I guess they believed that because I was a kid, I wouldn't remember, but I remembered how they treated us. I remember, and by us, I mean me and my twin. I remembered how they treated us. I remembered how they looked at us. I remembered how they tried to separate us, my mom and my stepfather, who, again, I'm going to refer to as my dad because that's the father that I know. They had a son, which is my brother. I'm not his half-sister. He's not my half-brother. He is my brother. I guess logistically, y'all would call him a half-brother, but he is my brother. And he was always raised as my brother. In actuality, I feel like he was also raised as, like, my son. Not that my mom treated him or made him feel as if I was his second mother, but as an episode that she came and talked about on Mother's Day, we became part of her village. I would help. I learned how to take care of my brother. I learned how to change diapers. I learned how to cook. I learned how to do a lot of things because my mom had a major, major surgery while she was pregnant with my brother. And so I had to learn a lot of things that most 8, 9-year-olds would never have to learn. My 8 and 9 year olds are learning those things because it seems like fun, where I was learning those things too as a point of survival so that we can eat, so that we can do certain things, because my mom didn't have a huge village of people that could come and help her while she was in this major surgery. And so growing up with my dad, again, I remembered things that people said. I remembered the way people looked. I remembered the way that they treated me. And like Maya Angelou said, you may not remember, I don't even know if it was Maya Angelou, but somebody said that, you may not remember how they spoke to you, not remember what they said, but you remember how they made you feel. And I 100% agree with that. I remember those things. And it's a very big catalyst in how I interact now with my dad's side of the family, because as I got older, I started to put checks and balance on things that didn't make sense. Now, here's the thing about me that a lot of people in my family, even, you know, when I say my family, I mean my dad's side of the family, didn't realize, is that I'm not go with the flow type of person. I'm very much challenged. I will challenge you for every little thing. And I think because they were so used to who my parents were in church, they were used to me just kind of going, because again, as a kid, what choices and life choices could I make as a child? I wasn't even 18. And when I became 18 and went to college, I still struggled with this whole ideology of adult, because my parents were the type of parents that was like, I don't care if you are an adult, you ain't grown, I'm in charge. And so I really believed that for such a long time. It took me a long time to really step into my grownness. But I say all that to say, with Father's Day, it is still yet a bittersweet situation. My dad, which again, I'm only referencing him as a stepfather. I say this every year. This is not my first year saying this. I'm only referencing the fact that he's a stepfather to bring light into the situation. But the reality is he's the father that I've ever known. And there has been some highs and there has been some lows. There's been highs and lows with my mom. So it's not like it's only highs and lows because he's a stepfather. I want to make it very plain. There's been highs and lows with both parents because they're parents and they're my parents. And I was a child who didn't have much say in my life. And as I've gotten older, I realized the value of fatherhood. But I will say this about my dad. My dad looked me in my eyes when I don't even know how old I was, but he said, if you want to know about your real father, I will do everything in my power to make that happen. Now, I need you to understand what that meant. This means that this stepfather who stepped in when my father wouldn't do it, not that he couldn't, let's be real, not that he couldn't, he chose not to, okay? He stepped up and he did what he had to do, and it wasn't perfect, but he was there. And for him to look me in my eye knowing that that could make him feel some type of way, and he decided to say, I will help you find your real father. I will help you do whatever it takes to make you feel whole. He said that to me, and he said that to me when I was younger. And he said it to me when I turned 18, he said the same thing to me. Like, he just had like this random conversation. So my dad and I had this thing. We would go back in home. We would go to this like open air market, and they would sell fruits and vegetables and basically, you know, non-name brand handbags, non-name brand shoes. It was like a flea market to like the extreme, but it was more like, it was like a farmer's market. And so our continual date was to always go on Tuesdays. If they were open, it wasn't raining, we would go. And this happened for like at least a year, maybe even 2 years, we would just go. And one day at this, before I went to Penn State, he said to me at our date on Tuesdays, he said, if you need that, I want you to be happy. Now, I was a little mini thug, so at the time I didn't cry, I didn't show any emotion because it just wasn't my way. But it really did touch me. I've never forgot those words. Never forgot it. So as I went to college, it wasn't really on my mind to really like figure out my dad, because I was still trying to figure out my life. And I really didn't have time to figure out what this man who could have done and didn't do. So I honestly didn't give any thought process. It wasn't until I had my daughter that made me feel like, okay, now hold up. I'm bringing life into this world. I'm watching my now husband step into this role. I'm watching all these things happen, and I really need to put this in perspective. And so I started the journey, small steps into figuring out where he was. Now, here's the killer. I think a couple of years ago, and when I say a couple, I do mean couple, maybe 2, possibly 3 years ago, I discovered that my grandmother lives across the street from my aunt, which is his sister. How amazing is that? And for perspective, My grandmother has always lived in this house since I was born. I am 43 years old, so she has lived in this house for at least 43, and I'm sure a lot more longer because she was there with my sister, my mom, and my aunt. So for at least 43 years, this man has lived, or his family has lived, literally across the street. When I tell you across the street, it just is super close. It cannot be put into words. So as I got older and discovered that this was basically my family that lived that close, it made more sense that as I got 18, I went to visit my grandmother on my own. I would be outside playing and it would be a car that I remember very vividly that would drive past. It seemed like every time I visited, this car drove past. And when I asked my grandmother about it, she was honest and said, "That was your dad." Put this in perspective. My dad drove past me every time I came to visit my grandmother, drove past this house because his sister lives right across the street from her. And as a daughter who at times had these little desires, or had desires, I won't call them little, but had these desires to have this confrontation to see where I came from, it bothered me. So one year, a few years ago, I left my children with my grandmother because, again, my kids are with my grandmother. She's grown, grandmom. And I went across the street with my husband, who walked across the street to this aunt's house. And I was scared shitting bricks at this point. And I walked into the house, and these people looked like my sister because I looked like my mother and my grandmother, like splitting images, my grandmother and my mother. And my sister, my twin, looks exactly like my father. This aunt looks and resembles like my sister. Pictures of him, pictures of my uncles, my other aunts, they look like him, and they lived right across the street. So I was scared, was concerned about whether or not they would entreat me, would bring me into the house, would they feel a certain way, would they shun me, would they make me leave? I had all these different emotions. So we went across the street and we had a conversation with his sister. And she began to just break certain things down for me. And I began to learn a lot about him, my father. Now, I still have not yet met my father. I have been to his family. I have access to this day to his brother, one of his brothers. He has quite a few, and one brother has passed within this last year. He is a little older than my mother. And again, I have access to some of his siblings. One of his siblings, which is his brother, his wife and I talk quite often all the time. I have also been in contact with my half-sister, because we don't share mom, we just share the father. And because I'm not close, I will refrain from calling her, I will say she is my half-sister. So I have had full-blown conversations with my half-sister, who is his daughter, and get this. I said that I'm a twin. She is a twin. She has a twin who happens to be a brother. My mother and her mother sat at a bar one year. This must have been a baby, so we're not that far off. We are twins that are around the close of same age. My father was out here doing the most. He has quite a few kids. And my mother and her mother are going back and forth. What I came to realize about my father, my real father, my biological dad or father, or I should say dad, because I don't even know which one is the heaviest, but whatever the one is the least heaviest, that is who he is. And my half brother passed away. He was killed in a home. They found him, and my father didn't even want to claim his body. He sat at the morgue for over 30 days. I think that sealed the little desire in me as a little girl who wanted to know. And I've never told the story before in detail, but I'm telling it now because there is somebody who is hoping that they're going to see this father figure for them. And they're hoping that it's going to be all the things that they've ever wanted. And I'm here to tell you that I hope that that does happen for you. But I also want to caution that it also might not. And as my half-brother's body laid in that morgue for over 30-something days, my sister had to find a way to come up with the money to get him and to bury him, or have at least a memorial service for him, because I don't even think she buried him. I think she ended up cremating him. But my heart was broken in 1,000 pieces to know that this was the caliber of a man that in my mind as a child, I had envisioned that he would be a different person. This is all confirmed. I spoke to his siblings, all the things. This is not something that she just told me. She didn't just feed this story to me. I'm very much on her social media, like my sister, all those things. I was devastated. I was beyond devastated to know that this was the caliber of man that I had come from. And that bothered me. It bothered me when I first heard it. It bothered me years later. And I began to take those things to therapy. What I'm saying this conversation is for is that I wasn't gifted to be around the father that allowed to bring, that was used to bring me here into this world. And I'm sure there are aspects of him, good or bad, that I still have within myself. My sister probably does as well. All my siblings, because there's quite a few of us, apparently, allegedly, there's quite a few of us that we carry that we don't even know why we're like the way that we are. We don't know why our tempers are the way that we are. And I'm here to tell another single mother, just because you raise that person, you don't get to erase the person that's within them, because whomever you lay down with, those things, those attributes, those, that biological byline, those things are in your child. You don't erase that just because you quote unquote provided them a life that that other person wasn't able to give, or you don't want them to be involved. You don't get to erase that. That stuff still lives dormant inside of us, or even not even dormant, it's in us. It's a part of our DNA. But that also gave me a sense of peace. Now, I'm going to have to cross this battle again when I get word that he has passed and decide what it is that I will choose to do. One thing I won't be doing is involving my children. If I do anything, it's going to be because I choose to go and I will go alone. I've already traveled to Ohio. I've proven that I can go to Ohio on my own. I've done it several times. And I can do it if I should have to. And Ohio is where he is at, across the street from my grandmother's home. As far as not him, but his family is. So again, I have access. I have access to them socially. I could get information from them and speak to whomever I need to speak to, because that's just, I do have access. So I do feel a sense of calm, at least being able to have access to where I come from. I'm not 100% sure if I'm ever ready to pull that plug to actually go and make the arrangements to meet him, because again, I just need to preface, I could literally have him come to a sister's house and have a conversation, have my husband there, have my grandmother there, have my own mother there if I needed to. But this Father's Day, I just want to preface people who are struggling that you can have all the feelings that you want to have. It's not up to me. It's not up to the people around you to tell you how you should feel. All I'm going to ask is that you find a way to respect yourself. And you find a way to get through that and find a way to get past that, find a way to get to go in it. Because for so many years, I try to act like as if it didn't matter. It didn't matter. It didn't matter. The one thing that I will say about my dad, and this is my stepdad, again, I'm saying this only to give you to know who, which person I'm talking about, is that I always will give that man honor, because again, he stepped up when my father would not. Not that he could not, when he would not. In the same aspect, he never thought it robbery to say to me that he would help me if I ever needed him to find him. He said to me, it's not hard to find him. I know why now, because he lives right across the street from my grandparents' house. But nonetheless, I'll let that go. But he would never find it to be highway robbery for him to say, I'll find him for you if that's what you need. They don't make a lot of men like that. And again, I preface, my childhood with my stepfather was not the best. Not. There's a lot of things that could have been different, things that could have been changed, things that could have been said, things that could have been done on both sides. But nothing is going to stop me from giving him that much love and that much respect for what he has been able to do. So Father's Day is a bittersweet. I grieve sometimes the relationship that I think in my mind as a kid that I told myself. I even told myself it had to be my mom. Like I was like, you know, my mom was strong. She was forceful. There was probably a way he just didn't feel like dealing with that. So it had to be her as the reason why he didn't want to be involved. But again, when you get older, you start to know the truth. You get all the pieces of things together and you put them all together and you start to realize the things that are going down. So whatever you choose to do this Father's Day, I grant you peace. There are some fathers who have transitioned who are amazing fathers in their lives. They have transitioned, and so people are left with emptiness. There are some people who will never even have access to this alleged family that they have, and they won't have access to the father that they want to have a relationship with for a various amounts of reason. So they're struggling, they're grieving, they're going through. You're not by yourself. I just need to say that 1,001 times. And although my dad's side of the family, again, I'm not sugarcoating a damn thing. Some of them treated me the way they wanted to treat me because they were trying to prove a point to my mother because they didn't like her. Let's just state that. But that's not going to take away from what my dad was able to do. I just mark you now, and I don't be around you. And it's just what it's going to be. And it doesn't matter if you listen to this podcast or not. It is what it is. But at the end of the day, that's still not going to take away from that man stepping up. So I always will salute good fathers, good father figures, grandparents and grandfathers who stepped in the gap, men who just were mentors and stepped in the gap. My husband has some of the most amazing mentors. He doesn't have a great relationship with his father, but he had great mentors. And for the times that uncles and things, all those things, again, I salute great fathers and great father figures as we step into Father's Day weekend. I personally will make sure that my father, my dad, gets all the things. I will personally make sure that my husband, who is also an amazing father to my children, makes sure that he gets all of the things. Because there's too many men that are getting bashed for their lack of parenting because y'all chose to do so. Let's be honest. You can say it's the mother of your children, but unless you're fighting in court and tooth and nail trying to get them babies, I salute good fathers and good father figures. It's plain and simple. To the men who make the women of their, the mothers of their children, their focus point instead of the children, I'm not looking at that. And FYI, they're going to grow up to be adults like me that will finally know the truth. I know the truth. So I say, I have always been in salute to amazing fathers and father figures, adoptive fathers, stepfathers, mentors, uncles that are super supportive, grandfathers that are super supportive, friends who have stood in the gap. But nothing will take away the fact that every child wants to know who their mother is and who their father is. And some people will leave this earth never feeling whole because of that. And I pray for you. I pray for those, again, who their fathers have transitioned and they don't have it. And I pray for those whose fathers have transitioned and they never even had a relationship with their children. For the fathers that are bitter, mad at the mothers of their children, I get it. I honestly do. I understand you. But I also understand that child who didn't ask to come here, who don't give a damn about what your relationship is with their mother. They just wanted you. You, without your right mind, sometimes being on drugs, messed up, whatever the case may be. Children don't normally care. They just want your time. So happy Father's Day to every amazing stand-up man that deserve it. Listen, some of you fathers that you know good and damn well, you didn't do nothing to do nothing. Sir, somebody else may be calling you happy Father's Day, but how could you allow somebody else's children to call you happy and say happy Father's Day to you when you know you got children on this earth who ain't never heard your voice in a month of Sundays? Get on to do better, because nobody is above a do better. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I hope that something that I said resonate with you. Listen, your mental health is important. Please do yourself a justice by taking care of it. I'm in therapy these last couple of months, and I have felt like the weight of the world and therapy has been kicking my behind, but it's going to make me a better person. Because I choose to do the work every single time, right, wrong, or indifferent. I hope that you have a good weekend. I hope that you have a good day. If you're struggling on how to deal with Sunday, do what's best for you. If that means, you know, going out, making sure that you're good, I like to go to coffee shops and bookstores. Those two things will make me excited. Get me to a good coffee shop. Get me to a bookstore where I can just have free rein. And if you want to add a little razzle dazzle, buy me a book. Listen, that will set my soul on complete fire. I am the happiest bookworm. So if that's something you need to do to protect your peace on Father's Day, do so. If you don't want to be entangled and bothered with the folks on the internet that's out here making these fake proclamations to these daddies they talk about every 2.3 seconds, let me just tell you, do what you got to do because you're going to see it. It ain't going to change. People are going to be off. They're going to be single moms talking about it's my day because I raised these babies by myself. And yes, they did raise them. But Miss Ma'am, regardless of you raising your child or children by yourself, them children grown as I don't know what still want the love of their father. On Kirk Franklin's newest album called Father's Day, appropriately, one of the songs that he made is called Somebody's Son. He said, I would lay down all of my, basically my titles and my accolades just to be called Somebody's Son. When I watched his documentary a few years ago, it made me weep and cry. I even did a whole episode, well, not a whole episode, but I did talk about that on one of these podcast episodes. I'm going to find it and put it in the show notes. But it was such an amazing conversation about the fact that you can have all these different things, but if you lack in love and want the desire of your father and that father is not there, I promise you, none of those things are going to matter. Like you said, I just want to be called somebody's son and get the right daddy because you do know that Kirk Franklin's was mother made him believe that somebody was his daddy and then he wasn't. Got that DNA because Dana don't lie. So when he discovered who his real father was, then I continued to put another wedge between him and his mama. But again, all the Grammys that that man has won didn't matter because he just wanted to become somebody's son. If you have never heard somebody's son and you are struggling and you don't want to listen to it, don't. But if you want to hear it, look up Kirk Franklin, Somebody's Son. And if you have any crack in your armor, like I used to tell my mama, if somebody get a crack in their armor, anything will penetrate. And when you have that emotional, raw feeling that you're feeling, play that song, especially on Father's Day weekend this weekend. I promise you, it either break you or it'll heal you. For me, it broke me and then healed me because it made me understand that even at 43 years old, I'm not alone and feeling like sometimes it's like I want to reach out. Sometimes I want to go the extra mile. But then I thought, why would I go an extra mile for somebody who won't even cross the street? And for me, you know, people say that all the time, but my real reality is that this man knows that my grandmother lives right across the street. And everybody knows that my grandmother and I are like glue. Everybody knows that. Anybody in small town Ohio where my grandmother lives knows that. Right? They know they can get to her, they can get to my mom, and they know they can get to my mom, they can get to me. And because I've talked to his sisters and then they know my number, now I think my number changed, I might have to get them a new number, but nonetheless, just to be called Somebody's Son by Kirk Franklin is an amazing song to listen to. Thank you for listening to Conversations with Toy. I love you. Please find one activity, regardless of being Father's Day. Give all the men all their things. And please, ladies, if you have a good man who is a father or father figure to your children or your child, do what you need to do to make sure that they know that they are entreated, that they are loved, that they are respected, that they are honored, that they are cared for. Because listen, stop wanting these men to do all these things for Mother's Day and then you want to give your father or the father figure of your life just a card and be about their way. Like, make it big. Make it just as big as you want your Mother's Day. One thing I know in our house, we celebrate all them holidays. We do not play games. We don't. So when Father's Day comes around, I like to make sure that my husband knows, hey, you're a stand-up father. In a world, especially here in Philadelphia, where people are saying, well, all these deadbeat daddies, not in this house. There ain't no deadbeat daddies over here. So because there's no deadbeat daddies, because my stepfather is no deadbeat daddy, I'm going to make sure that they feel loved, cared for, supported. So find one activity that will resonate with you. Thank you for listening to Conversations with Toy. I'm going to sign off for real, instead of coming back. We're going to sign off for real. Thank you for listening to the episode. I hope that's something that you listen to resonate with you. I hope it made you think. I hope it put some things in perspective. I hope you feel seen. I hope that you feel heard. hope that you feel that you're not by yourself, that you're not alone, because listen, as well as lives look together and put together, some of us are struggling. We are going through the same very things. We're going through some things that are even worse. Just because we have a limelight on our content doesn't mean that we're not human. So I love you all. I will see you back next week. I do believe we have maybe two more episodes, meaning next one and maybe another one, and maybe even next week, maybe the last one. I'm not sure, but I will let you know. But we are coming to the close of season 10, and that means that we will take a little break and then go into season 11 so that I can get back rejuvenated, get this voice rested, because y'all know y'all listen to this podcast. And so some of these episodes have been on the struggle bus, and I apologize for that. We're going to get on the do better and stay on the do better, because I want to make sure I give you my best in quality every single time. This is why I record at certain times a day, or record at certain times, but that the content is right and it sounds full of energy. It's not sounding like I'm just giving you whatever I could give you. Like, I don't want that. I hate that for me. I hate that for you. So find something that you love this weekend. Enjoy your weekend. It is Father's Day weekend, and next week we'll be back and we will talk some more about things that happen in this life that don't nobody want to talk about, or things that you may have resonated or heard before, but it'll give you my perspective. We're going to always talk about things that are happening in these internet streets, but we will always do a mental health check-in. And one thing about that, mental health and Father's Day can be rocked. So take care of you and do whatever you have to do to keep yourself safe, sound, and of sound mind. I love you. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening to Conversations with Toy. Do three things for me. One, you're already listening. You gotten to this point, you pretty much come to the end. We close now. Don't worry. It's like a pastor. Like, we're going to get there. We're going to get there. We're going to get there. Number two, share this episode with somebody else. And number three, wherever you are listening to this podcast, go ahead and give a beautiful review, a bad review. I'm listening and reading them all because I want to hear what you have to say. And I love you. Have a great weekend. Have a great week. And we'll be back with Conversations with Toy. Have a great one.
Thank you as always for joining me. And I know that even in the deepest or joyful conversations, that there's something we can learn and apply. Until next time, I hope that you are doing better. If not, we will be back to talk some more and handle it. Peace to you and yours. Stay grounded.